Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gents, all things covered, listeners and viewers, man, we got a special episode for you guys, man. This is a big time. It's a big deal for me because me and this individual, we got drafted the same time, the same year. Man, we had our run-ins in college. He went to Miami. I'm not going to say what they usually call it. I'm just going to say Miami. Nah, he can say it. I ain't going to say it. We had our run-ins down there. Of course, man, successfully being able to get to the National Football League, we had our run-ins there. National champion at Miami in 2001. 65th overall selection in the 2005 draft. I was the 62nd pick in that same draft. Five-time Pro Bowler, third all-time in NFL history in rushing yards. Exactly 16,000 rushing yards. A member of the 2010 All-Decade team. Most rush yards in that decade. And we will go over the list of names that my guy is above. You talk about iconic Hall of Fame-like names. Guess what? This individual is number one. Most games ever played for an NFL running back. The most. Tops. 241 games played at the running back position. And lastly, man, jack of many trades, master of all of them. Getting ready to have his boxing debut this Saturday versus Deron Williams on Showtime. Make sure you guys tap into Showtime pay-per-view this Saturday in Tampa, Florida, to see this future Hall of Famer go toe-to-toe with Deron Williams, representing the NFL, one individual's representing the NBA. We all know who the toughest guys is. It's the guys that play on the gridiron. No other than Frank Gore joining me here, Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, all things covered. Frank, number one, thank you for joining me. How you feeling?
Man, I feel good, man. I'm very excited about December 18th, this Saturday, man. I've been training very hard these last 8 weeks to get ready for this fight, to go out here and try to get this win, man. I'm in a good place, man.
No question. And definitely, you know, the fight is a huge, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But for a lot of people who might not have followed your career, let's take them back just a little bit. Played at Miami. Outstanding career at Miami, but when you got there, one of the more prolific competitions at the running back position was something that you were involved in. What was it like competing against the likes of Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, and a bunch of other talented guys at that time while you were at Miami, all in the backfield?
I got to say their name. I got to say Najee.
Davenport. Yep.
I got to say Peyton, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, man, it was, you had to bring it every day. You know, if you didn't bring it, you know how it is when you got a lot of talent in the room. You might can't play on Saturdays. And we do everything right. And I tell people this right now today. Every time I talk about it, I would say, guys, I don't think I would be me in the NFL, man. Because, man, when, you know how the NFL is. You know, they bring every year they trying to get a new guy to take your position. You know, and me being around them guys in college, man, I felt like what's the best. You know, if you pull them up in NFL, you'll see that they was talented guys, man. And I think just being around them guys, man, it made me feel like I don't care who they drafted. You know what I'm saying? I done been there. I did that. And they helped me a lot, man.
Yeah. And all those players you mentioned, all of them had nice NFL careers. So,
you know, Portis almost 10,000. McGahee almost. So you know what I'm saying. So when I see a team when I was in San Fran draft the back every year, I didn't care, bro. You know what I'm saying? And around guys, who doing it at a high level, you know. So I was ready to compete.
Yeah, and speaking of your San Francisco days, what type of NFL career did you envision for yourself when you tore your ACL twice in college?
You know, one thing I would say, once I got back off my second ACL, mm-hmm. but my last year in college, I could feel myself getting better at towards the end of the year, so I knew I was mm-hmm. gonna be okay. But once when I decided to go to the league, and you know, like you know how they have like the top guys, then you know the next tier.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, the top guys when they had Ronnie Brown at two when he went to Miami. They yep. had so Cedric went to fourth to Chicago. Then J.J. Arrington. No, I was
Cadillac. Saying, Cadillac Williams.
Cadillac went to five to Tampa. Then J.J. Arrington and Eric Shelton, then me. Mm-hmm. And you know, around there, you know, they gonna play them guys. You know, yep. off real. So I was like, okay, you know what. I didn't play as much, but I did my thing. But I told myself after the season, you know, if I'm gonna be successful in this year, I gotta be the best player, best running back in this draft.
Yeah.
And I told myself on off season, I'm gonna train my behind off, and you know, my goal was not to let any one of them guys who went in front of me outdo me or none of the draft class, bro.
Yeah, and one thing I can say about you, Frank, I had an opportunity of, you know, training down there in Miami. We trained down in Miami to get together. You work hard, work extremely hard. So I wasn't surprised to see the success that you had as an individual from start to finish. And not to mention, you remember that, I'm going to go back, the first game in 04 when we had to play y'all in the Orange Bowl. Remember that Friday night game?
Uh-huh.
And we were already hearing how good you were before the injury. Then when you came back that Friday night game, Mickey Andrews was like, man, we got to stop the run. We got to stop Gore. But by that third quarter, we was in the huddle like, boy, that boy Gore healthy. He ready.
That was the first game of the season, dude.
Yeah, that's the first game. It was Friday night because the hurricane delayed it. We couldn't play the following Saturday, the previous Saturday.
Bro, I was only 7 months out of surgery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like 7 months, bro. So
and see, we thought, because only being 7 months, we like, man, Frank might give us a little something, but he really ain't going to be coming like that. You know what I'm saying? But by that third quarter, well, we was in her like, hey, and you remember how hot it was, how humid it was? We're like, man, listen, man, y'all boys in the first level, man, y'all better slow that man down a little bit. He get to the second and third level too easy. Yeah. Man, how did the fate?
Y'all should have won that game, bro.
Man, on it, man, listen, Frank, don't even start that. Yes, man. Who was it? Hester blocked the field goal or something, right?
Yep. About the field goal there. Oh, I ran it up. I scored the touchdown and overtime.
I made the tackle. I got there too late.
At the end zone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Man, I was so hot, man. And that field goal when Hester came off the edge.
Your boys in Miami.
Huh?
You never beat us in Miami.
We're not talking about that, Frank. What you talking about? We ain't talking about what happened. We talk about the 49ers. We talk about the boxing match, Tampa. We not talking about what happened in Miami. I don't know nothing about what you talk about, Frank. Hey, I didn't. And that was my last shot, too. That was my last shot.
Get home, dog.
Man, listen, man. Hey, you know why I didn't go to Miami, though, right?
Nah, why? Why?
Because when Butch Davis came to the crib, I asked him. I said, are you going to leave? Do you plan on leaving? He's like, no, I ain't planning on leaving. And I just didn't believe him.
He told me that, too.
He told you that, too. I just didn't believe him. And you know how it is with a coaching change. You don't know if they're going to keep it internal. Or they might go outside, bring somebody else in, new. And I knew Bobby Bowden wasn't going nowhere.
Right.
I knew he wasn't going nowhere. I just didn't believe Butch.
Came in the class with some gangsters, man. You, Trail, John T, you know what I'm saying? Me, Roscoe. Who else came out? Man, we had, man.
Vilma.
Winslow.
Wasn't Vilma in that class, too?
Of course.
Before. It would have been tough, but when he hit me with that move, Frank, I was like, bro, just keep it real with me. Say, you know, potentially, I don't know. He's like, no, McFadden, I ain't going nowhere. I'm like, man, you answered that two questions.
Yeah, he told me that too. I'm in the athletic director though.
Pete? No, it wasn't Pete.
Pete, I see him.
Yeah, that is Pete with the thick mustache.
Yeah, he left too.
Yeah. Because it was Butch Davis and Coach Mark and mm-hmm. Pagano, because Pagano was one of the ones that recruited me.
He left too.
So that's how that planned out with me going to Tallahassee, man. But yeah, that's why I wanted that last one so bad, because the other ones ended in field goals. I'm like, bro, when Hester
we blew y'all out up there 1 year too, though.
Oh, that was Andre Johnson year when.
Yeah, it was our freshman year.
When Dre went ham. Yeah. Dre went ham. Yeah, Andre went ham. Then the following year we came back. I think he was injured then. That's
y'all,
the one when we missed the field goal.
Y'all lost us home. Y'all went left, right? Field goal went left.
Yep. That's the game Greg Jones was running all over y'all.
Yeah, he was running that thing.
No question. I tell people all the time, you remember that game, both teams, I think we had like 40 pros. It was like 37 or 40 pros on both teams.
Hey, you know what we used to call that game? Our coaches called it the money game.
Same for us.
Yeah.
So, we say, you want to get drafted? Ball out against Miami.
Ball out against Miami. Yep.
Funny, the similarities, right? We had the same, like in the beginning of the schedule, we circle Miami, Florida. Money
game.
That's it.
Nope. But we really never get the chance to play Florida like y'all did. But yeah, we, you know, y'all playing them. It was Florida State and Florida.
That's the thing I like about us, because we always had that. We always had Miami. You know what I mean? We always had Florida.
It was so competitive because we knew each other. You know what I'm saying? I don't matter who school, Miami bad or y'all good, it's still gonna be a game, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Just like this year.
Yeah, I tell people that, man.
It's a robbery that, you know what I mean? If you really ain't from the state of Florida, you might not understand it, but if you understand football, you understand what it means. You know what I mean? Some of the best NFL players played at those two universities, Miami or Florida State, you know what I mean? And still Hall of Famers, you know, superstars, all pros. So that's the money game. I don't know how they feel about it now, but yeah, like you hit it dead on.
Both our boys getting in the Hall of Fame this year. Dre and Anquan, bro.
No question. No question. As a matter of fact, Dre's supposed to be coming on the next few weeks too. So, you know, I mean, that should be a dope conversation. I'd have had quite a few Miami boys on. I got you, Antrell, Santana, EJ, gonna get Dre on. Eric, I'm missing anybody. I think that's about it. Yeah, we done had some iconic NFL hurricane legends on, man. And now we got yourself on. Future Hall of Fame as well. We're going to tap into that because I want to hear exactly what you got to say about that. But let's go ahead and kick it back to San Francisco. How did the fate of the organization change when Jim Harbaugh arrived?
I think the core guys, you know, like when we first got there, it was a young team. Mm-hmm. I think by keeping the core guys there, he came in perfect timing. You know, he also had a great style, man. You know, he had a great style. And I'm being real, bro, like it was, you know how the league, like they don't give a coach time. Mm-hmm. You know, you got, and then like round year 4, 5, and 6, that core group that ready to take off. You know what I'm saying? Because they saw everything and been through so much. And I think when Harbaugh came, bro, it was like that was year 6. Brandon was year 5. Pat was year 4. We got some good free agency, like Justin Smith. Mm-hmm. You know,
he was huge.
Yeah. So it's like I take my hat off to Harbaugh because he had a great coaching style. He knew how to like make his team be like F everybody in the league, everybody against us, man. Yeah. And bro, and I think we were just ready, like we was tired of losing. Like we was the laughing stock in the league so long. And I just think we was at that time like year 6, year 5, year 4, the core guys. And I just think we was ready to take off, man. You know, and that's what happened. It happened, I would say 2011. Mm-hmm. When we was down in Philly, we was down in Philly, and you know, we was going into the locker room. I can remember everybody, like we going to the locker room, everybody looking at each other and look, we used to get cussed out steady. Okay, this is what we need to do. Yeah. Try to win this game. So man, everybody looking at each other, man. You know, that when Philly had that dream team, like big. Yeah.
Vince Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, all them boys. Yeah. Yeah.
So bro, we down. And we was 2-1. So like we was 2-1, something like, but that was the first time we won the locker room down that year, starting that year. And I would say we all looking at each other, like, dang, we gonna get cussed out. What about to happen? Cause we never was used to, okay, we gotta do this, do that, adjustments. So we get in there, boom, hop ball, bring everybody up. Hey, we gonna win this game. This is what we gotta do. Offense, blah blah blah. You gotta, you know, we gotta strike quick. You know, then bro, the second half came, bro. We down 20, probably 21 to 7 or 10, bro, we get out there, but we just start striking, bro. Then we start believing in ourselves, man. You know, once you beat a team with all the names and stuff,
especially on the road.
Yeah, I think that's what made us take that little run we had in San Fernando.
And check this out, Frank. You scored the winning touchdown with 3 minutes left. You had 16 carries for 127 and the winning touchdown in that ball game.
And I was out though, and I got hurt the week before that against Cincinnati.
Wow. Yeah, you went off that game. Do you think Harbaugh will ever coach again in the NFL?
Me knowing him, I think he want to do something once he feel like he did, like, reach his goals in college. Because now, you know, he finally beat Ohio State. Now, you know, it's going to be tough, boy, because you got Alabama, you got, you know, mm-hmm. Georgia. You know, and it's different football. You know, Big Ten, I feel like Big Ten, SEC, like, different football, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm taking speed over, you know, like, big guys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm happy for the success he had this year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, because I messed with Harbaugh. Like, we talked. Like, he coming to the fight, too.
Oh, okay. That's
my dog, man. You know what I'm saying? That's my dog. Hopefully he could, you know, beat Georgia to try to get in the championship. I think he will, man, because he's very competitive, man. He's very competitive. I feel like, he let one go when we went to the Super Bowl. We should have won that one. Let that brother. And I think, I think he'll come back.
Well, talking about that Super Bowl 47 to be exact, against the Baltimore Ravens, what's one thing you wish you can change about that Super Bowl outside of the final outcome?
I would say, man, we was too cocky as a team, bro. Uh-huh. When we watched film, we've watched Baltimore, we was like, no one in hell they can beat us. But we was younger than them.
Yeah.
But not that they've been there already.
Mm-hmm.
And like they had, even though Ray wasn't Ray, he still had the voice to make their team go. So watched it, bro. We for the, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, Ray really couldn't run. You know, they tried to match him up with Vernon. If you watch the game, Vernon was killing like first half. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I wish we would have never overlooked them, bro. Just because, you know, now I look back and like, bro, even though Ray wanted himself, you know, they had Reed, but you know, they was older. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Still had a voice that made them young guys like come to play like them how they should, man.
What kind of magic did the team catch when Colin Kaepernick took over?
I will say that we changed the whole style of offense, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm being real. I think if Alex never got hurt, it would have been the same thing. You know, both of them could. You know what I'm saying? I just mm-hmm. think, you know, Colin started playing what, week 9 or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like week 9 or week 10, something like that.
We changed the whole offense. And I'm being real. It's really, people would think we were just running zone read, but we really wasn't, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We was running the same plays. We always, it just was out of the pistol because that's what he was comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And they give like the green light, you know. So it's like, once they start feeling like, oh, the end, they couldn't crash because Colin was so fast. So we just tearing them up down the middle. Then as the game go, you're going to get on this.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches will be like, hey, you know, they'll call a power. That end spill, you know, they'll have the guard that let them go. The guard, you know, guard spill, you know, you're supposed to stay tight. They feel like that end spilling. And Cap feel like they see it. And we'll have the guard just go around it and just, you know, just keep, like, and Cap will keep it. It wasn't it was just, what's called normal plays. And they give Cap the, you know, authority to keep it at times, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think with both of the quarterbacks, we would have been fine, though. I'm being real.
And the thing about, I agree with you with that, and because the structure was there. Everything was there in place. Defensively, you had some goons. Offensively, you know, you had guys that played football the right way. And one thing that Harbaugh instilled was the physical nature. It was like y'all wasn't a finesse team. Y'all want to get in a bar fight.
Old school football, bro.
Yes.
And this generation of football or a team like that, but you know, the boy got hurt, Tennessee Titans, man.
Mm-hmm. With Derrick Henry.
He was, bro.
Yeah.
Defense on the ball, you know what I'm saying? Tannehill, you know, taking his picks in there to throw the ball. But you know, I think the way we played, bro, helped us like when you had to come, whenever they know we on the field, bro, you got to bring your pass, bro. You got to bring that A. Got to be physical. Because, bro, if you ain't physical, you're in trouble.
And especially in January football. And the thing is, too, for me, my entire career, for the most part, except that one year in Arizona, I played in the AFC. And AFC teams always felt like they were more physical. But when we saw San Fran kind of change the dynamics of that, it was like San Fran played the game like an AFC team.
I would say only in y'all conference was physical.
AFC
with Baltimore, Pittsburgh. You know, like because when I left the NFC, I thought the AFC was real finesse. But I was in the NFC, I always felt like only the AFC North was physical.
Yeah.
And that's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? No even question. Though Cleveland was sorry, or Cincinnati, they always kept.
They still something. Fight.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. They always kept them defense coming to bring it. You know what I'm saying?
No question. No question. Man, we all know, I know for sure, you know, you're headed to Canton at some point in time. But some people will try to knock you for the longevity and compiling stats over the years. You know, what would be your response to those critics?
They don't know football.
Say it again.
They don't know football, man. And I really don't care, man, because they don't know me. And I feel better when I got older. I used to feel better when a young kid who played my position run up to me, bro, man, can I come train with you, man? Yeah. How you still doing it this long? Or a coach come up to me, head coach, man, you still, you know what I'm saying? Like I. As long as I get my respect from y'all, man, and sure. Y'all know, put on the film, like anything on the football film, I can do. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay with it, man. And you know, when that time comes, when the 5 to 6 years, when that time comes, you know, we'll see. But I don't be tripping on it, cause man, them guys who be talking don't really know the game of football.
And Frank, do you believe you will be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Do you believe you should be?
I don't know, cause I don't saw like so much crazy stuff, man. Like even my boy Isaac Bruce, bro. Yeah. For even out that long, waiting that long. You know what I'm saying?
Which he shouldn't have waited that long.
I'm saying, bro. Like, so I don't know, but man, I feel like whatever God got for me, man, it's gonna happen. And when it happens, man, I'm fine with it, man. You know,
I feel like this, Frank, and I played against you, watch you a lot. You should be first ballot. And I feel like when you look at first ballot players, these are guys that had consistency throughout the majority of their careers. These are guys, their peers respect it. Like when you know you playing against a Hall of Famer, you like, all right, y'all boys better not be tripping this week. Y'all better have your mind right. Chin straps bulked up real nice, because all right.
Matter of fact, let's be real, bro. If you look at my situation when I first got in the league, like that's how I judge bats. You know, like, bro, when I got in the league, bro, who can you name on my team?
Yeah, your first 6 years, it was just you. And because Alex Smith wasn't really Alex Smith like that.
They was writing them off to be a bum. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's
my dog. You know, like name a guy who could scare you on my offense who played with me. You see what I'm saying?
Your first 6 years, I'm trying to think.
That's what you can't, bro. And I'm not knocking you guys because the game, what we play is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking them guys. I'm just like.
It was like a rebuild. It was like a rebuild, to say the least, for some years.
Yeah, what I'm saying. But Go ahead.
I was going to let you know. I was going to read something to you and read something to our listeners and our viewers. Because numbers don't lie. You know what I mean? You can say whatever you want to say. One thing ain't going to lie to you is your eyes and numbers. So from the years, we're going to do it like this. From the years 2005 to 2014, Frank Gore, and remember, he got drafted in 05. He's number one in the NFL in rushing, over 11,000 yards, 11,073 to be exact. You're over guys like Steven Jackson in that span, Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew, LaDainian Tomlinson, Matt Forte, Thomas Jones, and Willis McGahee. And then if you want to factor in going from 2011 to 2020. So I just gave you guys numbers from 05 to 2011. This is the longevity with consistency I'm talking about. From 2011 to 2020, Frank Gore is still number one in the league. 9,586 yards to be exact. The next player, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Forte, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Alfred Morris, and Todd Gurley. So when you hear those stats, what's the first thing coming to your mind?
I'm blessed, man. Blessed, hard work, man. Played it the right way. You know, and don't ever listen to when the people outside saying what I can't do or what, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you touch the age 27, 20, they said running back down.
Yeah.
And you over. I never listened to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I when I used to see Frank Gore slowing up, you know what I should do? I read that before I go train with them young kids who at my who up and coming.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep yourself honest. So I'm not gonna lie. Every time I feel like a running back and older, I had to go get a younger guy, younger crew.
You like to train with younger running backs.
I had to. I had to, you know, around young guys to make sure that if I'm close to them, if I'm close to them training, I'm gonna be all right. Just because the knowledge of the game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm being real. Like when I see a young kid who I've been training with get like that 26, 27, I gotta go to the other crew, the younger crew. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. They were like the rabbit. They're your rabbit. You chasing them. Right. Yeah.
So I've been blessed, bro. You know what I'm saying? Hard work, blessed, love the game. And I didn't listen to nobody. You know, I didn't let nobody judge me because another man couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you should be first ballot. If I had a vote, my vote would be first ballot because I played against you. And that's one thing I don't really understand about Hall of Fame voting. So many people that are voting never really played the game. You know what I mean? They just kind of sit from afar and take notes and things like that. No, it's about, you should ask people who played against that said player, like, what did you think of this guy? You know what I mean? Was he a beast? Was he legit? Was he this, man? No question. Ask people who played against Frank Gore and they'll tell you what they say. He's a first ballot. You know what I mean? So it's everything gonna happen how it's supposed to happen. Don't worry. Your time will come. And speaking of training with younger guys, in 2018, you had an opportunity to go to your hometown team, the Miami Dolphins. And during that time, you had an opportunity to play for the Dolphins, but you also had an opportunity to be more hands-on with your son, Frank Gore Jr., while he was in high school. But now, if you guys have been living under a rock, Frank Gore Jr. is now in college at Southern Mississippi, right? Not only was he the team's leading rusher this year, but he also threw 4 touchdowns in the final 2 games. So how has it been for you to be able to see him excel? And where did he get those passing skills from?
Oh, I don't know where he get the passing skills for. But he did it in high school though. His last year when they quarterback went down, they had him play. They had him play quarterback, and you know he can throw the ball. I was surprised by that. I was surprised, and I tell him that's the only thing you better than me in throwing the ball. But other than that, you can't mess with your daddy.
He can't see. So, question. I know you talked about when you were active training with younger guys, and I know you're still in great shape. Clearly, you get ready to box this weekend. But do you guys work out? Do you still let him know that he ain't really got you? He can't touch you.
You know, one thing about me. You know, I got 4 boys. Also, my stepson is 5.
Yep.
Girl, I let my kids be kids. You know what I'm saying? I don't force it on them, the game. You know, if they want to play, I let them play. And you know, when I went to Miami, that was my first time really seeing my son since he was like 7 years old, play like live in football.
Yeah.
You know, you get coaches be like, man, your son a real deal, but you thinking they saying it because you know what I'm saying?
Because he's your son.
Right. So I go down. His 10th grade year, about to go to a junior year, bro. They playing a Broward team too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, your team, your school, what school?
MacArthur?
Bro, man, first carry, bro. He went like 60. Okay. Now, that was my first time I seen him since he was like 7 live, bro. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm nervous, you know, like, man, this high school ball, you know? Man, first game, first play, he went stars, bro. And, bro, I was like, you know what? I said, I'm going to start training them, like, starting this junior year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To take that next jump. Because once I saw that, you know, he ready for it.
Yeah.
And I just started bringing him along. But I started putting him around pros. And, like, I let him train with me at Pete Bumarito's. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Morning. When I talk to him, I tell him, like, listen, son. You see all these guys in here, right? I say, this, we supposed to be here. Now, I'm going to show you what God can get you over the top. Because I also hired my own football coach that night.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, in the morning time, bro, that for me, to look at all the guys who I got to compete with. Okay, yeah. What they go with, like with Shady, his quickness is, you know, like Lamar, long speed. So it's a long speed day. I want to go next to Lamar.
Yeah.
Faster than me. You know what I'm saying?
No question.
So I should tell him, like, listen, son, this morning workout, we supposed to do this. Now, the workout we do at nighttime, with my other football, my other trainer, this what gets you over the top. This gets your mindset to be like, you know what? I know this man can't outbeat me because he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So I started training him his junior year, and you know, from his sophomore to junior year, then the junior to senior, I saw like a real big chunk, man.
Yeah. Man, it's amazing, man, being able to see him. Like you said, your first time seeing him was mm-hmm. in 10th grade, and you were like, wow.
Yeah,
I was. Man? And now he's doing big things at Southern Mississippi, and, you know, stay healthy and stay on the right path. I'm sure he will. You know, eventually he probably hear his name called.
Yeah, I hope, you know, man. As long as you just keep working, man, and, you know, and enjoy what he at now. Don't look at him, bro. When that time will come, man, like, enjoy your teammates, enjoy your coaches.
No question.
And just live the right way and stay hungry and have fun, man. And I think, you know, God willing, man, he'll probably get his name called one day.
No question, no question. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be fired up to see his old man, as we say down south, his old boy, step in the ring this Saturday. Fight focus. Let's talk about this fight. Frank, man, what was the first fight you ever remember getting in?
Man, it was elementary. I was a bad kid, dog. Like, I was a bad kid. Man, I jacked this kid up, man. And
you remember the kid name?
No, I don't remember the kid. I was bad, bro. Then I'm gonna be real. Then in my middle school, I tried to sneak in the dance. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't. You know, like, you know, in middle school they have like you can't have no suspension. So you know. You gotta be tight. Everything gotta be tight. So I got suspended. So I'm, you know, I couldn't go to the dance. So I sneak into the dance. The security guard come grab me, bro. Like, bro, he jabbed me. Like, man, I said, hold up, bro. I jabbed the security guard. I'm gonna sit, bro. I put him to the wall like this. And that's probably that was another fight, man. But I haven't been I haven't fought in a long time though. But when I was my younger days. I used to be a bad kid.
Get it in. So give us a little sneak peek or let it be known right now. What will be your music interest? Like the music you're going to play when you walk into the ring. Have you decided on what that music will be?
I didn't decide yet. You know, because I've been so focused on getting myself ready. Mm-hmm. Even though I've been around Boston for a long time, just been different. You know, just 8 weeks, man. Like I used to, like I tell people I box, but I didn't do it for the fighting. I did it to get my position for football. Mm-hmm. I haven't picked the music yet. It's crazy because the lady asked me this morning when I got to Tampa, like, what music we gonna walk out to? I said, let me think about it. Cause I didn't, but I do know, like, I'm walking out with my kids because whatever happened in the ring, I know they gonna be behind me no matter what. I will tell you that. But I haven't got to the music yet. So I probably, a couple of days I should do.
Yeah, you probably should take it, you know, bring it, take the crib with you. You got Ross, you got what'd you say?
Hey, Trick Daddy or Ross?
Yeah, TWD, you know what I mean? You already know how back in your Hurricane days, you already know Trick used to rock with y'all boys. You got Ross, you got Kodak, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got a few to choose from. So you got a few days to get it right, but shoot, Ross, Trick, Kodak, I don't think you can go wrong.
Yeah, I'm gonna see both all them guys. You know, they're my boys, man.
Yeah,
but I haven't thought about it, dude. I've been locked in, bro, trying to get ready, man. Because you know, something different. You know, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm nervous. You know, because I want to do good, man.
No question.
But I'm excited about it. You know, and like I tell people, once I say I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna go 110 to make sure myself don't look like a fool out there. And I think I had a great 8 weeks of camp. I've been training with some real, like, experienced guys in the ring.
Yeah.
They'll be at the fight. And I want to, like, you know, if they watch this, I want to tell them thank you. All my teammates who been behind me, pushing me, I want to say thanks to my strength and conditioning coach, Pedro. Even my other trainer, Marty. Mm-hmm. Extra time, man, walking me through stuff. So, man, but I've been locked in, bro. I'm very serious about it. I was very serious to camp. Mm-hmm. Good, bro. You know what I'm saying? I want to do.
Yeah, and I know you showed a lot of respect for Deron Williams. You know, he's more than a worthy opponent. How do you plan to overcome his reach, you know, based on his length that he has on you?
Well, I can't say that right now until I get in the ring.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I just got to see how he move around.
Okay, you know, okay.
Stuff up on him, you can't see, like, you know, even though, you know, like, I know he played basketball, but I still think, you know, they don't move like football players. You know what I'm saying? So once I get the feel of see how he moving around, then, you know, me and my coach can adjust the stuff to Danny.
No question.
But it will be difficult because he is a big guy, tall guy. But I still got to see how he moving, how he used to reach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, hey, man, I'm going to be watching. Like I said, man, everyone who tuning in, check Frank out on Showtime, man. Go ahead and pay for that pay-per-view, man. If you was a fan of Frank on the gridiron at Miami, at San Fran, throughout his entire professional career, you got to be a fan right now. I mean, it takes a very, very dedicated individual who has never boxed professionally to go out and do it on this level. So that's already a win.
But fact, that's why I can't overlook them. Everybody's my basketball club, man. Listen. Man, if anybody get into that ring, man, they got to know something. They got to have some type of toughness. Man.
No question.
And that's why I can, you know, I'm looking at him like he's an undefeated fighter, man.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know. You know what I'm saying? And I think both of us, it's his first time. You know, he been around MMA for a little minute. I've been around boxing for a little minute. So I think it'll be a good night. You know, best man.
No doubt, no doubt. And for you guys that are watching us right now on YouTube, you see Frank, he has on the Bovada shirt along with the Bovada hat. Yep. Listeners checking us out on podcast, man, Frank is big time with Bovada. Tell us a little bit about Bovada, you know what I mean? Gambling a little bit. How did you get involved with Bovada?
Well, I've been dealing with Bovada for a little minute right now, especially since, you know, I was undecided if I wanted to play ball. Mm-hmm. But I've been like the family tell me, man, they've been real good. I be doing a lot of live videos with Lisa and Shady talking about football, talking about, you know, boxing, you know, basketball. We're just having a good time. So whenever, you know, they see me, Lisa and Shady on live, man, tell them to tune in because we have some good talks, man. Ask them any questions they want. Mm-hmm. And I also be on live doing to all my fans could ask me anything they want to ask me.
How often do you get on live?
Well, I would say once or twice a month. Gotcha. So, man, all my fans, when y'all see me, Lisa, and come join us, man, and have a good time with us. We have some fun on it.
Yeah, and one thing I can say about Bovada, because I have an account with them and I'm always tapping in when it comes to the props, the different props and the different games. And Frank, you know a lot about the props as well. What makes Bovada so special when it comes to online gambling?
Oh, I would say they let what make them special, because if you follow me on Instagram, I'm mm-hmm. giving y'all make the game. I'm giving y'all the
oh. Giving y'all, so hey, you giving basically bro, the cheat code to go out and win some money.
I'm giving y'all the game, bro. So hey, and tune into my Instagram. Story, I'm telling you, I've been 12-0 the last 3 weeks. So if you want to win some money, tune into Bovada and tune into my Instagram stories. I'm telling you.
No question.
Bovada, good people, man. Good people.
Treat you like a family. That's something that you told me. And that's important when it comes to betting. You know what I mean? You want to feel comfortable in who you're listening to when it comes to putting your money on a particular team and why you should go that direction. And clearly, Frank, Lisa, and Shady, LaShawn McCoy, been doing a great job. So definitely got to tune in to his Instagram Live when they're on. And Bovada has done a great job. Like I said, I got an account with Bovada. Boy, and sometimes, boy, when I don't get to my account fast enough, I feel some type of way because I need to put a bet in. I'm betting almost every game, Frank. I'm in the sauce. I'm heavy in the sauce.
Been hitting them, too.
Been hitting No question. I just hit a 5-team parlay last week. Kansas City, Green Bay, Baltimore. Who else I had in that? There's two other teams. But, yeah, I hit it. That plus, the odds was plus 2, 2486 $50 would have got you $500. So you know if you bet more than that, what it was going to look like. And one thing about Bovada, they're going to pay you right on time. As soon as they that final game end on that parlay, you check that account, it's in there.
Yeah, Bovada good.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, man. So, man, listen, last question I have for you. I know you focus on this fight coming up, but let's say this fight is a success for you, right? You feel good. You feel comfortable about the job that you were able to do. Your trainers, everyone was like, yo, Frank, you exceeded the expectations. Is there anybody particular you might want to fight? Maybe like someone like a Jake Paul, or do you want to stick with fighting ex-athletes?
It depends. It depends how I feel after the fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be real. I'm a fan. This training, bro.
It's tough.
Tough though. You know, you gotta understand, bro, like NFL, man, you know, we get a week practice, then we play.
Yeah.
Bro, 8 weeks straight, bro. A grind, like running five, 6 miles, sprinting. Like, bro, we got to spar and then I'm still learning. And mm-hmm. I'm in guys got over 300 amateur fights, 10-0, you know, and pro boxing. So it's like, and they not taking it easy on me, man.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to see, man. I'm going to see, bro, because it's a tough sport. And then, so
I was going to say, it's funny that you said that. So I know you've said you're in the best shape of your life. So mm-hmm. let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say a contender, a playoff contender in the National Football League.
Tell them to
need
come
a running, need a running back, right? Need a running back.
This is the, dog, this the most cut I ever been, bro.
You ready to go?
I'm ready, bro. I'm telling them I'm coming. Especially, hey, contender.
Yeah, a playoff contender, a team that's going to be playing in January.
Tampa, San Fran.
Who else? Yeah, San Fran. Who else? Who else probably need a – heck, well, Seattle, don't, they might not be a contender, but they need running back help. Tennessee.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, Green Bay's too cold right now, man. I'm comfortable in Miami now, so, you know.
Tampa, New England? Right? What about them Patriots?
New England balling, too.
It's kind of cold, but you'll go to New England, huh?
I'll go to New England. Hey, you know, Bill gonna, boy, you can't count them out. You can't count Bill out. You can't count Tom out.
No question.
So we'll see. Hey, contender, come grab me, baby. I'm the best shape I've ever been in.
The door is still open for Frank Gore. Y'all hear it. He ain't just done yet. In the best shape of his life. And talk about a team that just need that one player in the backfield to kind of get them over the hump. Frank say he's ready.
4 minute offense, I'm ready, baby. 4 minute offense, short yardage, goal line. Hey, I'm ready. I keep my pads low.
Yeah. No doubt. And not to mention, you're a great tutor, a mentor to some of the other younger backs on the team.
If the non technique out, keep it tight, man.
Keep it tight.
Yeah, bro. Whoever, I'm ready.
No doubt. But hey, Frank, man, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you probably got to get prepared once again, mentally and physically. But listen, bro, it's an honor having you join me here on All Things Covered, man. You always been home team, always treated me with respect and vice versa, man. Wish you nothing but success in the ring this Saturday in Tampa. It's going to be a star-studded event. Harbaugh going to be in the building. You don't know who all going to be in the building, man. Watch Frank come down there and do work, man. Frank, you know what? You probably should come out with some Kodak. You might need to do some Kodak. You might need to do some Kodak Black. Come out to Kodak Black.
I'm about to go look at his album, some of his music tonight. I'm going to see.
No doubt. Hey, I appreciate it, man. Best of luck, man. Hey, listeners and viewers, you see him? Frank on Bovada. Man, make sure y'all follow him, man. Instagram live at least twice a week, giving you guys big time betting advice to cash in big time. That's free advice to win money. Who don't want free advice to win money?
Who know the game.
Giving you free game because he know the game. All you got to do is log on to your Bovada account. If you don't have an account, create one, attach your debit card, or you want to pay in cryptocurrency. They give you any option, Bitcoin or whatever the case may be. Man, Bovada, Frank is doing big things. But guess what? Before that, he's going to do big time things this Saturday in Tampa, Florida. Frank Gore, Darren Williams, pay-per-view. Go get it in right now. Pay that ticket to see two outstanding athletes go toe-to-toe this Saturday. Frank, appreciate you.
All right, my dog.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.